Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of Bitter Comics. I am J.T. Foreman, and I'm afraid that none of my good friends were able to make it today for the podcast, but you'll be glad to know that I'm not here alone. My new friend, Mr. Ty Rivera, is here joining me. How are you doing, Mr. Rivera?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, we begin once again with our opening segment. J.T. was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 34, I would like to apologize to black people, mooses, or would that be meese?
Meese.
You think it's meese?
We'll go with meese. It's just fun to say meese. Yeah, meese. Or even worse, meeses.
Pokey, that would be Gumby's sidekick. Gay male bottoms and lightning. If you would like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to each of these things, please check out episode 34 and all our episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to Bitter Comics, go to the website, scroll down a little bit. And on the right-hand side of the page are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or my Yahoo. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put, "Jesus was not a zombie."
Have you gotten any angry emails yet over anything you've done?
Only one, actually. Someone told me I was mean to black people.
And what had you done?
I don't remember specifically what it was, but he felt that John Jones, a guy who's normally on the podcast, he hasn't been able to make it in a while. He's a black dude, and one of our listeners felt that I was being too hard on John. I don't remember specifically what it was we were talking about, but... He felt I was being insensitive or something, so there you go.
It happens.
Yeah, it does happen. So, you're in Fresno, headlining at the Thai Palms. It's actually a Thai restaurant. They have comedy shows there just about every weekend and every Wednesday. I have seen you once before at Laughing Buddha several months ago. You're incredibly funny, so thank you so much for being on the show this week.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in Fresno to do Thai Palms, as well as I was here for Press Box on Thursday, which I always mention Press Box when people ask me about Fresno because it's one of my favorite places to be.
I've actually have not been there.
It's a sports bar and probably one of the most unlikely places people would think that I'm, you know, that I love being at, but they're just so great to me there. The guys that own it, Miller Brothers, are really nice to me, especially like... Tom is a good friend of mine, and so, which I met through doing stand-up. It's not like, you know, we were friends before or anything.
Yeah.
But they take really good care of me, and we went out, we drank afterwards, we had a good time.
Cool.
They made sure I got home. Well, back to my hotel room, because I guess, which I hadn't known this before, I guess Fresno cops are kind of known for, like, giving people a hard time. I guess, like, you guys have a lot of DUI and drunk and disorderly and that kind of stuff going on here.
Yeah, well, you know, I've only had a couple of incidents. Actually, I did get pulled over recently while leaving Thai Palms after a show on a Wednesday night. And, you know, the cop pulls me over and I don't drink. You know, I don't have any moral opposition to it. I just think it tastes like shit. Yeah. So I just don't. And he pulls me over and says, "Son, you've been drinking." And I'm looking at this guy. He's got to be 15 years younger than I am. He's calling me son. I wanted to strangle him. I was like,
so annoying.
You see the gray hair, dude? I'm 39, all right? You could be my son, all right? In fact, I think I did fuck your mom in the ass last night. I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. So I'll have to apologize to his mom next week. But he asked me if I'd been drinking, and I said no. And he didn't believe me, because apparently he just saw me leave Thai Palms, which is, you know, it's a Thai restaurant, but at night it's kind of a nightclub. They have, you know, comedy shows.
Yeah,
they got a full bar.
I know how it goes.
And he says, "Well, I saw you leaving a club, so I know you've been drinking." And I said, "Well, it was a comedy show tonight. I was one of the comedians." And he says, "Oh, really? You're a comic? Well, tell you what. You make me laugh, and I'll let you go." So I said, "Well, at least you didn't ask me to suck your dick." He started laughing, so I just drove away. I didn't even wait for him to finish. But, yeah, that's the only real incident I have with the cops. They have they love to put DUI checkpoints up. One place, actually, one specifically. Okay, everyone in Fresno who likes to drink and drive, listen up. There is one place that I have seen a DUI checkpoint at least 6 times in the last year. It is at the corner of Ashland and Millbrook, eastbound. So that's headed toward toward Clovis on Ashland Avenue. So if you're drinking and driving, you're probably not going to be coherent enough to remember this, but someone should remind you, just like, you know, put a big post-it note on your driving steering wheel or something. Avoid Ashland Avenue near Millbrook, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
This has been a public service message brought to you by Budweiser or Jack Daniels or whatever you're using to forget all of your problems.
Yeah, thankfully I don't typically drink and drive, so I don't have that problem. But that's one of the reasons I don't drink as much as I maybe would like to. Or, like, you know, people are always asking me to drink or trying to buy me drinks at clubs or shows and stuff like that. And I don't drink because I don't drink and drive.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, I was able to have a good time here at the Press Box on Thursday night.
Because someone gave you a ride.
Yeah, because they told me from the beginning, they were like, we'll take care of you, we'll make sure you get back to your hotel, we'll get you back to your car in the morning. And true to his word, Tom called me or texted me the next morning and was like, you know, do you want to pick up your car? Let me know what time you want to pick up your car. And cool. So, like, you know, noon, he came by and picked me up, and we went and got my car, and things were great.
Well, that's cool. I'm liking these guys at the Press Box more and more. I mean, I don't drink, but knowing that they'd be willing to take care of me if I had any problems, that's cool. They're taking care of the talent.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care of the talent, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, and that place, you know, like, they pack it out. I mean, like, which I've been told, that it doesn't usually get packed like that, but, like, they pack it out when I'm there.
Cool, cool. Yeah, like I said, I haven't been there. They do. I think they do a comedy show there once a month. It's Andre hosted, I believe.
Yeah, Andre Covington.
It's Thursday night. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it seems like something else is coming up every Thursday, so I haven't been able to get out there. But I'll have to check that show out. But you performed last night at Ty Palms, and you'll be there again tonight. That's at Palm and Knees, of course. By the time this episode goes up on the internet, the shows are going to be over. But, okay, shows are all over. Dude, Saturday night, you were awesome. You were amazing. It was the most incredible comedy show I've ever heard. Okay, so I'm just assuming it's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I'm so easy to throw off. Yeah, I'm so easy to throw off that you said that. And I was like, Saturday night? And I was trying to remember what I did last Saturday. So yeah.
We're going to assume that everything went well. So you're a traveling comic.
Yes.
How many weeks out of the year would you say that you're on the road?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm really bad with that stuff. I know probably at least...
Well, half of them, you know, 20, 30?
No, probably 30 to 40.
30 to 40. Okay, so at least like two-thirds of the weeks out of the year you're on the road.
Yeah, I'm gone all the time.
Oh, cool. So you're like a working road comic. That's cool. That's one of those things I aspire to be, which... I don't know. I love getting up on the stage and doing comedy. Maybe I'm just needy and gotta have the attention. But I love doing it. And the weird thing is, if I'm bombing, I don't get nervous. But if everyone's laughing and having a good time, I get nervous. I start shaking. I don't know if you saw last night when I was on stage, but toward the end of my set, everyone's laughing at all my jokes, and my left leg just started shaking a little bit, and I had to lean on it.
Yeah, no, I hadn't noticed. I was listening to your set, and I mean, like, it was very funny. I mean, I was eating, and, you know, like, my food was coming, and so I wasn't looking at the stage. I was looking at the, you know how it is. One thing I hate about comics. Like, this is needy to me. Like, a lot of times comics will be like, you know, did you watch my set? And then I'll be like, oh, no, sorry, I was outside smoking a cigarette. Well, that's kind of rude, don't you think? Fuck off. I'm not here to watch you. I'm not your coach. I'm not an audience member. I'm another comic. If I happen to catch you, cool. If I don't catch you, not a fucking problem. Like, last night... You had to leave before I went on stage.
And I do apologize for that.
It doesn't bother me at all. You're another comic.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see any reason for you to be there. You know what I mean? If you've got something else to do or whatever else, go do it. It doesn't bother me. I'm not there for other comics, you know?
Well, the situation where I think it might be different would be if it's an open mic. And because then the comics are often the only audience that you have.
Yeah, so but with that, open
but
mic,
this wasn't an open mic though. I mean, this was a professional show. There's a bunch of audience, members who paid to be there. So it's not like, well, if all the comics who performed already left, then there's no one to hear me. You know. It's,
yeah, but with open mics, because I do a lot of open mics too. That's what where I work on new material, yeah, and I'm always at open mics. My thing with open mics is like, I don't care if the other comics leave there either. And I mean, like, I'll wait around for one, possibly two comics after I'm done, and then I leave. If I've waited for like, you know, three or four comics so that I could go up, then I'll leave as soon as my set's over. I mean, like, I don't think a lot of people get that open mics are more about you getting the words out and actually going over your stuff than it is like people hearing you. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of things that get said at open mics don't deserve to be heard anyway.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of the jokes that I've done at open mics would absolutely qualify as that. I mean,
I feel the same way.
You think of it, it's funny. You do the joke, and the audience is like, the few people who are in the audience are just kind of looking at you and shaking their heads, like, I can't believe you said that. You
know? Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I think you owe the other comics a certain amount of respect if you're there. You know what I mean? Like, to not be chatting or be loud or disruptive or any of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, as far as, like, you know, because, like, most of us, especially in LA, I don't know what the scene is like here, but like in LA, like some nights you're able to hit as many as like five or six spots.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I sit around and watch people at every one of those spots,
then you're not going to get any.
Yeah, it's not going to help me. I mean, like, I'm going to end up missing most of my night. And it's like, why? Because I'm being an overly nice person.
Yeah.
It's not what stand-up's about.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you want to get as... people told me especially when I first started, the key is to get as much stage time as you can, to practice all you can. Because if you're trying to be a musician, you can play your instrument in your basement. You can sing in your basement. But as a comedian, you kind of need at least somewhat of an audience to figure out what kind of a reaction your joke is going to get in order to improve. So you got to get as many stages as you can. And I remember when I lived in Seattle, there were two comedy clubs in town, the Comedy Underground and Giggles. Giggles had open mics on Sunday and Thursday, and the Comedy Underground had open mics on Sunday and Monday. And on Sunday, I would do both. Uh-huh. I would go to the Underground, do a set there, and then head over to Giggles. And people would give me a hard time about that. Oh, well, you think you're special? You get two mics in one night? I was like, well, if the owners of the club think I'm funny enough and they let me up, then yes, I do. But it was all about getting as much stage time as I could, get as much practice in as I could, because I was trying to improve.
Yeah, so that's what you have to do.
And, you know, a place like LA, where they got tons of different places that are, restaurants or bars or comedy clubs that have open mics. Yeah.
Coffee houses, internet cafes, wherever people...
And someone told me there's even a weekly open mic in somebody's living room that is becoming popular. I don't know if that's the case, but someone mentioned that.
I haven't done it yet, but I wouldn't doubt it. You know, there was one that was called the Front Porch Jamboree, I think. And
Front Porch Jamboree.
I think that's what it was called, and it was like on a guy's front porch. And
that sounds like something put on by gay rednecks, I'll be honest with you. Front Porch Jamboree.
Put on by what?
Gay rednecks. That sounds like something. Sorry.
Yeah.
The front porch, just so what, they just set up a PA system on the front porch and start telling jokes and people in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't even know if
that would be kind of cool.
I think somebody had told me that they didn't have a PA because of the neighbors.
Oh, okay.
So you just had to
to kind of yell.
Yeah,
but they could use that the people's mic that they've been doing at the protests lately, where one person says something and then the 20 people around them all repeat it. So they call that the people's mic.
I didn't know.
It's becoming a popular thing, like at political rallies.
Yeah,
you know, 20, 30 people will come in, and you know, partway through it, they'll start doing it. It happened at it's a speech that Karl Rove was doing. It happened at a speech the president was doing recently.
Okay,
he's halfway through his speech, and then all of a sudden, someone stands up and yells "mic check," and then 20 other people stand up and they all at once yell "mic check," and then they just go on with whatever the
really is gonna, yeah, yeah no was, I haven't heard cool. that yet. Is that what they're doing at the Occupy rallies? Is that okay,
so people, the Occupy rallies are getting like forcibly kicked out of all these different places, so they've been finding other ways to get their message out.
I stay away from all that stuff. I have a life.
Yeah. Well, I have to try to make a living is my problem. You know, I'd love to go and you know, fight for what's right in America and all that stuff. But yeah, I have bills that, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I got to put gas. I have to be able to fuel my car and get around. So
when the economy was doing quote unquote fine,
yeah,
7 or 8 years ago, I was living in my truck and nobody was having any kind of Occupy rally so that I could get out of my fucking truck.
Yeah,
so now that these assholes are having problems, they're realizing that we're all fucked.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop everything I'm doing to make sure that they're okay. I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
You know what? I'm right behind you. I'm way behind. Right over here. Go team, you know. But we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman. This is The Bitter Comics and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so Mr. Rivera, we're talking a minute ago about you're a working road comic.
Mm-hmm.
How many years have you been working on the road consistently?
Working on, well,
include when people were taking you as an opener.
Well, still, some people still take me as an opener. Yeah. That's one of the things that still happens. I'm still open to featuring. I mean, like, you know, actual opening, like MC, it doesn't pay enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's not worth it for me to go as that anymore.
Yeah.
Let's see. I probably started going on the road about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay, cool. So you've been doing it for a little while. I imagine you have some. What would you say is one of the more, let's say, interesting places that you ended up? Or do you have any, like, really?
Guam.
Guam, really?
Yeah.
Did you do a USO tour or something? Or?
No. I was on a Joe Coy tour for a while.
Oh, okay.
Well, for a year and a half, I toured with Joe Coy.
Joe Coy, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with his work, but I have heard that name.
Yeah, really popular comic. Did a huge show here in Fresno not too long ago. The first time I ever did Fresno was with Joe Coy, and we did, what do you guys have here?
Was it the fair? Did he do a show at the Fresno
or
Fair?
The Alex, or it was some theater that you guys have here.
Well, there's the Tower Theater, there's William Saroyan Theater.
Saroyan.
William Saroyan.
Yeah, okay, we did Saroyan.
Yeah, Bill Maher was there a couple months ago, I think, and like October 30th, actually, I think Bill Maher was at the Saroyan.
Yeah, we did Saroyan, so that was the first time I ever did Fresno. But I was with Joe, and it was when I first... I'm about to sneeze. It was when I had first started working with him, and he hit me up and was like, "Do you want to go to Guam?" And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we went to Guam, and I was flipping out while I was flying there because it's like quite a long flight.
It's like a 20-hour flight or something crazy like
that. Yeah, I think like 17 hours, you know, like you stop off in Hawaii, you know, and have your layover there and then fly out the rest of the way to Guam. But like, you know, I didn't know anything about Guam and I had never been to Guam and I didn't know anybody that had been to Guam.
Yeah.
So like the thing was, I didn't even know if they spoke English or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I didn't know anything. And we got there and Guam is a lot like Hawaii.
Yeah, it is a U.S. territory. There's a naval base there. A friend of mine actually, I first met him back when I was in the Navy. He spent the last 2 years of his service stationed in Guam.
Uh-huh.
And he said the same thing. It's a lot like Hawaii. You know, for recreation, they do like scuba diving a lot and that kind of stuff there.
Yeah, and like everybody listens to hip hop, and you know what I mean? Or a lot of people listen to hip hop, and it's kind of the same, you know, it's not any different than
anything. It's a little bitty version of the U.S., but more expensive.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Because you're out in the middle of nowhere and they have to bring everything to you.
Yeah, and well, you know, that's a good thing about being on tour. Like, pretty much everything's paid for usually.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know what I mean? Like, you don't even notice that things are expensive. Like, when the economy took a shit, technically, big day we had. I was in Hawaii and performing for a play, doing a play.
Cool.
And, you know, the producers are paying for everything, so people are panicking and everything else. And I was just like, life's good for me. I'm in Hawaii right now, staying in a hotel.
That's the man of the people, Ty
exactly.
Rivera.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, like, we can't all take on everybody's problems.
Yeah, you know, you can't live a tortured life your whole life. But once in a while, you gotta live it up a little bit, especially if you have an opportunity to do it on someone else's dime.
Yeah, and especially when, you know, like I said, sometimes things have been going really well for everybody else, and I'm, you know, living in my truck or, you know, trying to make things happen.
Now it's your turn.
So, yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, fair. Why am I supposed to feel so bad for you? I didn't see anybody crying when I was living in my truck. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
Well, have you ever had the opportunity to do any USO shows or shows on military bases?
I did Greenland, Thule Greenland.
Oh, cool.
And that was for the Air Force. That's a base called, well, the nickname for it is the Top of the World.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really cool. And, you know, they have problems with depression there because they're isolated.
Yeah.
There are only like, I think it was 57,000 people or 53,000 people in all of Greenland.
Yeah.
And they're all in southern Greenland.
Yeah.
And, or the majority are in southern Greenland.
Yeah.
And the base is in northern Greenland. So, you know, there's like 300 people on the base, all military personnel are, you know, the people that are like, you know, serving the food or that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
There's not really, like, a lot of the soldiers go out there, the, you know, military personnel go out there because they can save money.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, when I was in the Navy, I considered taking I almost took a duty station in for two years in Adak, Alaska, just for that reason. I would have been up, you know, in one of the little islands up there in the middle of nowhere for 2 years, and I would have been able to, you know, there's nothing to spend money on, so it would have been an opportunity to save a lot of money. I ended up going to a ship in Norfolk, Virginia instead, but
they just pay bills and stuff like that. And then they also have like Alaska, where the you know, they'll have like, you know, a couple weeks of no sunlight. We were there for what was called the First Light Festival. And the funny thing about that one is that one had me flipping out because they were like, you know, we need you to be really clean, or at least PG. PG is the furthest you can go.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay. I'm really dirty for anybody that
before. I've seen your material, and you know what? Life is dirty.
Yeah.
It's not you that's dirty. You're reflecting reality, and reality is a friggin' mess.
Thank you. So, yeah. And
I,
so I was like, okay, we're gonna do PG. So I planned out what I was gonna do, and I was like, you know, whatever, we'll do PG. Because I've done G even, I just hate it.
Yeah.
But you know, so I was like ready to do it. Then we get to right before the show, or like a couple days before the show, because they had us there forever, and they were like, okay.
You know, one thing I have to say, it's not as much funny when you say the line, screw the tailpipe, as it is when you say the line, fuck the tailpipe.
Exactly.
That specifically is one of my jokes, and I've had to change that for a couple of shows because they were PG.
Yeah, it
it's
ruins
not
it.
As much funny.
Yeah,
it's
it
not
ruins
as funny.
It. Yeah. And so they, so then we get to a couple of days before, and they're like, okay, PG-13 is okay.
Yeah.
And then we get to, like, you know, maybe a day before the show, and they were like, okay, just do whatever you guys want. Just.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing is I was in the Navy for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, the social environment within the services are really pretty similar. There's a reason there's a term out there called swearing like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if they ever tell you to go to a military base and keep it clean.
Yeah.
Okay. You got it. It's their stage. You can follow all the rules you want. But whoever is telling you to do that doesn't understand the audience. Because I was in the Navy 8 years. I was the audience. And we swear constantly in just normal conversation. Why would any of us be offended if a comedian is up on stage swearing? We wouldn't be. But for some reason, yeah, they always, keep it clean for some strange reason.
Yeah, I don't know why that is either, but I've heard that a lot of them are loosening up on that too. But I also did hear about a guy who went somewhere, I'm not sure if it was Japan, or he went to some base, and he was told to be clean.
Yeah.
And he went out and did whatever he wanted and had a great, great set, and the next day he was flown home.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times it's always someone is worried about getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a colonel who's worried about getting his first star as a general. and doesn't want to risk anything happening. And they're afraid that if you swear in the show that they allowed to have on the base, somebody's wife is going to complain about it and ruin his chances of getting that star, you know, to or whatever. Someone's worried about getting promoted, or someone's worried about a person complaining and they just don't want to risk it.
Yeah. But like, luckily for this show, they were like, just do whatever you want. We had a great time. They were fun. They wanted to drink with us afterwards.
Yeah.
We stayed up drinking all night with them, and then we had to fly out the next day.
I would love to get a chance. I was in the Navy for 8 years, so I actually have a lot of material about having been in the military. So I would love to get a chance to do shows at military bases in the USO tour. So I'm totally jealous of your chance to do that.
Comics on Duty or one of those.
Yeah, I did do a show at Lemoore Naval Air Station a couple of months ago. And, the rest of the set went really good. And then I finished with my stuff. I have like a 7-minute piece about having been in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And it absolutely killed. Everyone loved it when I was talking about military. Because that's a bit, I actually have a hard time being able to do it in other places, because a lot of times they don't understand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I start off with a bit about the hardest thing to you get used to in the military's terminology. Because if I walk up to you and I ask you what is a bulkhead, unless you've been in the Navy, you might not know that that's a wall on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if I ask you what the deck is, you'll say, well, it's 52 cards. Well, it's also the floor on a ship. And so I end up having to either try to explain the stuff, which slows down the joke, or trying to just use the civilian terms, and then it just feels fake when I'm telling it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's really cool. I really would love to get a chance to do that sometime. Hopefully one day. What was the group you called?
Comics on Duty. I know Comics is one of them.
Right, I'm gonna have to check that out. Let's move on. Before our list this week, actually, I want to do the 559 text of the week. Any of our listeners know, there's a website called textfromlastnight.com, and they have text messages people send them that are mostly drug or alcohol induced. And they list the area code from which the text message came. So I want to support my town. So every week I go to the website, I type in the 559 area code, and I look for a text message from my area code to talk about here on the show. And so the 559 text of the week is, I gave her at least chlamydia, maybe worse. She is also into chicks and loves taking naked pictures. It's like the less I believe in Jesus, the more he rewards me. There you go.
Yeah.
So the more horrible he is to people, the better his life seems to be for him.
I gave her at least chlamydia.
Yes, that's right. Maybe worse. So he has more than just chlamydia. He might have given her something worse than chlamydia, but it's at least chlamydia.
Yeah, well, at the very least.
Yes.
Stephen's greetings.
Yeah, she was into him, and he's obviously a real jerk. Yeah, chicks like assholes. I always say the next time I meet a girl I really like, I'm just going to punch her in the face. Because that's apparently what the women want. She'll get her jaw wired shut. As soon as she can talk again, she'll be calling me. I know it. Anyway, that is the 559 text of the week. You can find that and all kinds of text messages on textfromlastnight.com on the internet. We're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, so I was looking on the internet for the list for this week, and I got this off of a website called top10s.net. Now, most people have some sort of Christmas traditions that they have to do every year that they hate. You know, my family has them too, which is basically asking me every year what I've been doing. That's my family's tradition, and I hate having to answer that question, because I have to tell them, well, I'm still kind of a workforce fringe player and trying to be a professional stand-up comedian. How's that working out for you? You know, you should get a job. Your brother, he just got married, has their second child, and blah 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 blah. Yeah, but his wife's a bitch though. So no, she's not. I'm kidding. Well, which brother? Actually, I have several brothers. Some of them, their wives are bitches. Some of them are not. And I won't say which ones because, well, they don't listen to my show anyway. None of them give a shit about what I'm trying to
do. Yeah, the one time that you say yeah. that is the yeah. one time they're going to be like, oh, let's check out his show. Yeah.
You know, he's been telling
what's
us. What's
Joel been up to?
Yeah, he's been doing the show for a year. He keeps asking us if we'll do it. We're going to have to do it. Yeah, you know, the one time when I lived in Seattle, I could never get any of my family to come and do a comedy, to any of my comedy shows when I went and did open mics and anything else. And then the one time that my mother decided that she was going to surprise me and come to the show.
You did jokes
about I did her. A joke about, not really about her,
uh-huh.
about a dream I had that she was in. The one time that my mom decided to come to the show, and I didn't know she was there.
And was it dirty, or was it?
Oh,
like,
it was horrible. Yeah. Oh, it was horrible. It was horribly dirty.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
How'd she take it?
Actually, she said, that was hilarious. And I hope it's not true. No, Mom, of course it's not true. And actually, it was true.
You're like, they're all just jokes.
It's just jokes. You they're can. Just jokes. I'm a comedian making people in the audience laugh. That's what it's about. Yeah. It's about laughter. But, okay, so anyway, do you have some, does your family have any Christmas traditions you would consider strange?
Nope, I have the weirdest, coolest family in the world. Yeah? Yeah, it's strange how cool they are.
Is that how you ended up so funny? Because you kind of raised around a slightly off-kilter
kind yeah, of environment? Yeah, and I have a no-pressure situation going on at home. Like, cool, if I cool. make it home for Christmas, it's great. If I yeah. don't, it's great, too. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. I see them when I see them, and, yeah, you know, yeah. they're great.
Well, that's the best. That's the best way. And also, I don't know what region of the country your family live in.
We're in Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Do you, when you go home, do you fly or do you drive?
I drive usually.
Yeah, me too. Now, tell me if this is why. I don't know if I want to leave early.
Yeah.
Because last time I flew up to Seattle to visit my family, I was there for 2 weeks, and I really felt like I was overstaying my welcome.
Yeah.
And if I had driven there, number one, it would have cost less. Number two, I wouldn't have to deal with airport security. Mm-hmm. Number three, I would have transportation while I was up there. And number four, I could leave when they get sick of me or when I get sick of them. Always
yeah,
drive.
That's
always
the other drive. Thing. And people are less likely to get sick of you if you have your independence. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you're able to just take off. I mean, because yeah. like, you know.
I mean, even if you can leave it for a couple hours during the day.
Yeah, I go visit my family, but I leave, like, you know, all the time while I'm there. I'll go hang out with friends and yeah. I'll be gone, you know, sometimes for a night and then come back, you know, the following morning and... It just makes it so nobody gets tired of me. I don't get tired of anybody else.
Yeah, definitely agree. And anytime you go to visit anyone, if you can drive, drive.
Yeah, for sure.
And we are not sponsored by any airline. We're never going to. Darn, ValueJet was calling me too. Oh, well. Well, anyway, this like I said, this was from top10s.net. And these are some holiday traditions that are going to make your family traditions look downright sane. These 10 bizarre Christmas traditions from around the world. Number 10, this is from Greenland. It's called Kiviak. Now, Kiviak is a whole auk, spelled A-U-K. This is a bird. It's about the size of a robin, but its color is the same as a penguin.
Okay.
It's an actual flying bird, but, you know, white stomach and the rest black.
Uh-huh.
They wrap it in seal skin and bury it under a rock in the frost several months before Christmas. There's no indication of whether the seal has to be a baby seal or if you had to have clubbed it or not. It just says seal skin.
Okay.
The Christmas tradition is to dig up the Kiviak, squeeze out the rotted guts, and eat what's left of the auk. Supposedly, it smells a lot like Stilton cheese and tastes really tangy. I'll take their word for it. But this is, like, for good luck. This is their traditional meal.
Well, if it smells like cheese and tastes tangy, that actually might be good.
Yeah?
Yeah, people in this country are just way too squeamish to me. You know what I mean? Like, I would, like, if people have been doing it for years, there it's a good chance you're not going to get sick off of it. You know what I mean?
Like, well, you know, if you'd never heard of the concept of a hot dog and someone handed you this thing, you'd be like, dude, that's freaking disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think, you know, no matter how disgusting a tradition might be, there's a good chance that if that's what you'd grown up around, it would not seem all that odd. But I didn't grow up around this. It just sounds really kind of gross. But do you know what Stilton cheese is, though? I've never heard of that kind of cheese.
No, I don't know Stilton cheese.
Yeah. Okay, well, number 9, this is from Norway. It is believed that bad witches and evil spirits might try to make off with your brooms, so they hide their brooms around Christmas time.
Yeah, that one's a bit strange.
Yes. You know, honestly, I think this is just a trick that some kids came up with so they wouldn't have to clean the house. Greece doesn't have much of a witch problem, but apparently this is number eight. The evil spirits are everywhere and around the holidays. There are several descriptions of what these spirits look like. They're called Kalikenzo. I practiced this over and over. I still can't get this right. Kalikenzeroi. Just look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes to where I got this list from, and you guys can, you know what, send me an email just yelling at me at how I butchered the pronunciation, and send me a phonetic spelling of how to say this thing. But some say that these evil spirits look like people. Others say they're tall things and wear metal shoes, and some say they have monkey arms, red eyes, and are covered in fur. Either way, if you want to keep them from coming down your chimney, hang a pig jaw next to the stockings.
A what?
A pig jaw.
A pig jaw?
Yes. The jaw of a pig.
And that's in Greece that they do that?
This is in Greece. That's right.
Okay.
Well, good to know if I see a pig jaw when I'm in.
There you go. Number seven from Caracas, Venezuela. It is traditional to roller skate to church on Christmas Day. They even close all the streets, so no one gets run over while they're roller skating to church on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I would like to know how that one started. That one I'd like to know the origin of. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know, especially since Venezuela is like really, really into cars. I don't know how I found this out by accident, but the right to drive is actually in their constitution. And it was only last year that a law was finally passed that it is possible to take someone's driver's license away. And a judge can only take someone's driver's license away if they killed somebody intentionally with a car. So, yeah, Venezuela, they're, like, serious into driving. In fact, Venezuela has a huge amount of oil, and gas prices are somewhere around 30 cents a gallon there.
Yeah, well, I'm with it. Yeah. People should be able to drive as much as they want.
Exactly. Especially if your country is oil rich. But yeah. Okay, number six, in Great Britain, they stir pudding. And no, this is not an anal sex joke. They stir pudding. It seems that if you make pudding right, it can bring you luck. Legend has it that if you mix the pudding in a clockwise direction and make a wish, it will come true.
That one doesn't seem that weird to me, but I'm Mexican. We have so many superstitions, you know what I mean? Like
like what?
Doesn't seem that weird. Just folk tales and stuff like that, like La Llorona, like, you know, there's just so many in general.
Name one. I mean, do you know of any Mexican Christmas traditions?
For Christmas, not really, but just in general, there's just a lot of, like, you know, superstitions and traditions and stuff like that.
Oh, so it's like a superstitious culture?
Yeah, so like the...
I really like the Day of the Dead. That seems kind of cool.
Yeah, but like what you're... Like with the stirring the pudding and making a wish, that doesn't even sound that weird in general to me. You know what I mean? Like, there's people that drive over railroad tracks and like touch the... You know, and...
Yeah, stirring pudding is pretty tame.
Yeah, it's really. Like that's
I mean,
not...
that's really no more than breaking a wishbone.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's nothing that weird.
Well, in the Czech Republic, and this one is only for the ladies, if you're tired of being single, you can give this tradition a shot. Just go outside in the daytime, stand with your back to your door, and toss one of your shoes over your shoulder. If it lands with the toe facing the door, you'll get married within a year. And if the heel faces the door, you're destined to remain a spinster till you can try it again next Christmas. So, this actually seems a variation on the bouquet toss. You know, because they're supposed to throw that over their back.
Yeah.
Though, who's going to get married next? Whoever catches it. In Portugal, the Consada feast takes place on Christmas Day. This is number four. If you set extra places at your dinner table for the souls of the dead and offer them food, they'll bring you luck. You know, that's one thing I have to say. It seems like the Latin American culture is a lot less afraid of ghosts than we white people are. Would you say that's true? Because, I mean, you got the Day of the Dead thing is big in at least as far as I know, in they kind of, like, celebrate their ancestors, or...
I just think we're less... I mean, like, to me, white people are a lot more, like, touchy about that stuff. And, you know, Latinos tend to be a little more like death is a part of life.
Yeah.
You know, where white people act like it's an unspeakable thing and how can it happen and, oh, God, so cruel and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this comes from Portugal, but there, that's one of the I imagine that a lot of the Latin American culture comes from Portugal and Spain mostly.
Yeah,
and that kind of blended with the native cultures to create what they've got now.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, in Wales they have a tradition called Mary Lude. It's translates to Venerable Mary. So what you do is you find a horse skull and make a horsehair sheet, and then get some mummers and a bucket. And I couldn't figure out what mummers means. So now you go out into town covered with a sheet and holding the horse's head on a pike. You make the horse's head's skeletal mouth bite people, and anyone the horse's head bites has to pay a fine or suffer bad luck. At the end of the night, you'll either have a bucket of money or someone will shove the horse's head in a very uncomfortable place.
Yeah, that one seems like it would get your ass kicked.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that would definitely, that would never fly in the United States. Give you money in this economy? I don't think so. They you'd probably get jacked for your horse's head.
Yeah, and like touching somebody with the horse's head, or I mean, like, could you imagine? That would never fly here. Try that in East LA.
Yeah, not a chance.
Try that in Fresno. You'll get your ass kicked right away. It'll be like first time.
Absolutely. Number two, in Catalina, Spain. I'm sorry, Catalonia, Spain. The poop log. So what you do is you get a log, hollow it out, and decorate it to look like a reindeer or a dog, and you start feeding it on December 8th with candy and toys. On Christmas, you beat it until it pops out all of the goodies. And if the stuff doesn't come out, there's a song you're supposed to sing as you beat it. The translation of the song in the English is "Poop log, poop turon, hazelnuts and cottage cheese. If you don't poop well, I'll hit you with a stick, poop log."
That sounds like piñata.
Yeah, it does kind of. It's a piñata made out of wood instead of what? Now, of course, the piñatas now they're just cardboard covered with, you know, frilly stuff they glue onto there. Uh-huh. Do you have any idea what piñatas were traditionally made out of?
We used to do piñatas in school, and they used to use a balloon.
Oh, balloon!
And then newspaper, and I don't remember what it was. You know how they treated it all. I remember us doing it in school though. Arizona, okay. You do stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah. Cool. And finally, number one on the list, this is also from Catalonia, Spain, is El Caganer. He's a figurine for your nativity scene. He's a red-capped peasant or monk or other type of figure, and actually you can get them of famous people now. You place him a little bit away from the rest of the figures in your nativity scene because he's got his pants around his ankles and is bent over crapping. El Caganer translates to the great defecator and is a good luck charm so that next year you'll yield a good harvest.
Yeah, that one's...
Yeah. It's just this little figurine of a dude bent over and crap coming out of his butt.
Yeah, there's a guy shitting in my nativity scene.
Exactly. Yeah, that's... So these are...
Jesus' drunk uncle. That one.
Exactly. No, you're supposed to give us unlimited fish. Oh my gosh. What are you doing? Okay, so those are the 10 weirdest Christmas traditions. I got that list off of top10s.net. So I'll put a link in the show notes. So if anyone out there is interested, you can find that. We're going to take one more break real quick. I am JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, let's do the news. In Georgia, a factory worker claims in a federal lawsuit that he was fired for refusing to wear a sticker with the mark of the beast on it. At the factory, every day, everyone gets a new sticker with the number of days the workplace has gone without an injury. And on day 666, devout Christian Billy E. Hyatt refused to wear the sticker and says he was fired for his religious beliefs. That's right. He claims he was first told he wouldn't have to wear the sticker, then later says his boss told him his beliefs were ridiculous and gave him a 3-day suspension. He was later fired at an HR hearing. He's filed an EO complaint and is now suing, seeking damages and back pay.
I personally am with him.
Yeah?
If you don't want to wear a sticker that says 666, then you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I agree it's ridiculous, and I can understand, like, you know, if people are like, you know, Bill's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can understand that. But and especially when it's one day. But yeah. I also would want to know what his overall performance is like. Because if they're willing to fire him over that...
He might be a shithead.
Yeah, they might have just been looking for a reason to like, okay, he's always fucking possible. Up. We need to, everybody else wears a sticker. That's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? 665 yeah. isn't a problem for anybody. You know, but yeah, yeah. then also you'd run into the problem of like, you know, what if, you know... Another person, like maybe a person who doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't want to wear 777 because he says that's God's number, you know? I mean, so then is it going to become a problem of the opposite, you know? So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on both of those points. I mean, I don't want to wear this sticker this one day. It does not seem like that big a deal to me.
Yeah.
So there must have been something else. You know, I can't imagine that they're actually going to fire someone just over that. I mean, how can anyone think... that they're not going to get some sort of backlash about, no, you have to wear the sticker even though you're telling me it's against your religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to get shit over that.
Especially in Georgia.
But you know what I would have done is just on day 665, I would have just hit somebody. And then now there's a workplace injury and you don't have to worry about it. Possibly a girl that I really liked. So.
Yeah, so now two birds with one stone.
Exactly. Next in the news, in Washington, D.C., the city of Washington, D.C. has one of those most comprehensive anti-discrimination laws in the country. Their Human Rights Act includes protection against discrimination against race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, marital status, personal appearance, no discriminating against ugly people, sexual orientation, familial status, family responsibilities, matriculation, political affiliation, disability, source of income, and place of residence or business. That's a lot. You think there was anything left out? One council person does think so. A member of the city council wants to add one more group to the list. The proposed amendment would extend protections in hiring, housing, and a host of other areas to those with, quote, past arrests and convictions. Now I'm going to let you guess which member... of the Washington, D.C. City Council doesn't want people with past arrests and convictions discriminated against. He used to be their mayor.
Would it be Marion Barry?
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Yes. He is
He's got a lot of nerve.
Yeah, no kidding. He is the representative for Ward 8, which has a 20% unemployment rate. And something, I believe the article said something like 18% of the residents... male adult residents have arrest
some
records.
Some kind of conviction, yeah.
Or some kind of conviction, and hence leading to the 20% unemployment rate in his district.
Uh-huh.
So he's trying to get this this amendment added to their civil rights law so that you can't be discriminated against if you've been arrested in the past.
Oh, he's trying to get it added.
Yes, he's trying to get past arrests and convictions added to the list of protected groups.
Yeah, well, I think that should be everywhere, though. Because, I mean, like, I really don't think that you should be defined for the rest of your life by a mistake you made, especially if you've already paid your debt to society.
Well, yeah, I mean, you served your time.
Yeah.
You were arrested, you were convicted, you were held at trial, you were convicted, you served your time. This is the punishment society is going to give you, and you did it. You're supposed to be given a chance to start over now.
Yeah, for a second I thought he was the one that didn't want it. I thought he was...
No. He wanted this. He submitted this particular legislation himself.
Yeah, I think that should... I agree with him, and I think that should be everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, if the guy can't be trusted, why did the parole board let him go?
Yeah, why is he out?
Yeah, why is he out? The parole board should have denied his parole and held him longer.
And I think a person's more likely to, you know, become a repeat offender if they can't find straight work.
Yeah, well,
or
you know,
if they
what,
can't find housing, or you know what I mean, all the things that you're denied once you've been convicted of something.
Not everyone steals just because they like to steal. Some people steal because they haven't eaten in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, if you can't find a job, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna. It is funny that it happens to me, Marion Barry, doing this, considering the fact that. He was caught smoking crack, but yeah, I'm gonna have to go with him on this one. Next, we have a pimp. He claims to be a pimp. I mean, it's hard out there for pimps, especially in court, where an accused rapist was denied the opportunity to provide jurors with his own expert testimony on pimping. Anthony McCord, aged 29, acting as his own lawyer, is expected to testify in Brooklyn Supreme Court that the woman accusing him of robbing and assaulting her was actually a prostitute who stole money from him. So apparently, he beat and raped one of his hoes for holding out, allegedly.
Yeah.
And he was arrested for it, and he wants the opportunity to explain to the jury, I'm a pimp. This is how pimping works.
Well, you know what they say about people that represent themselves.
They have a fool for a client.
Exactly.
That's right. And here's another one of the perfect examples of that. He says that he's been a pimp since 2000. Quote, I've pretty much read every book, saw every movie, and heard every song related to the subject matter. He went and saw some pimping movies and said, I can do that.
He's an idiot. You know, I mean, like, because that's one of the things that, like, you know, the law really doesn't have a lot of respect for. It's like, okay, so now you've proved you're a pimp. So
guilty.
Yeah, exactly. There you,
you know,
go.
No one's accusing you of pimping. And you're here telling us you're a pimp. I think we need to add a new charge to the billet here.
Yeah.
He also said, quote, I'm also a member of a quiet society of pimps. If it's a quiet society, why are you talking about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are going to allow him to testify on his own behalf, but not as an expert witness. And that is what he was trying to get himself classified as, an expert witness on pimping. If he were really such an expert pimp, then his hoe wouldn't have been willing to file charges against
him. She wouldn't have held out in the first place if he was a real pimp.
So, you know, apparently he's not that great a pimp after all.
Yeah.
Next in the news, have you ever tried to type something in Facebook where it wouldn't let you type it in because it's dirty?
No, I haven't.
You say fuck and it puts up something else or hell or damn or whatever?
No.
Well, this woman, she was attempting to fill out her profile page on Facebook. And it rejected her hometown of Effin in County Limerick, Irish Republic. Effin.
Mm-hmm.
The word Effin apparently comes up as offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because people say Effin instead of fuck.
Yeah.
So she's attempting to, here's a quote from this woman, Anne Marie Kennedy. I was born and raised in Effin and my family comes from here. I'm a proud Effin woman and I always will be an Effin woman. Yes, the 47-year-old Effin native has started an online campaign. Although an attempt to set up a Facebook page called Please Get My Hometown Effin Recognized was unsuccessful because it came up with an error message that it was offensive. So she wants to start an online petition but can't.
I think she's an Effin idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, come on. Like, you really care that? Lady, don't let Facebook take over your life like that. I mean, come on. You want an online campaign because you can't put your hometown's name on your... You know, that would be like if I were to get mad. Because, like, last night, I was having trouble tagging a friend.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you just can't tag a particular friend? And it's not, like, any kind of... It's just a glitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like... So what am I going to do? Start an online petition because I think Facebook isn't letting me tag this person or what? Who cares? And besides, why does your hometown matter that much?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you put in your profile, you want to put the accurate information in if you want it up there. So allowing you to put in the name of the city that you're from, I am going to have to side with. I agree, it's all ridiculous, but I'm going to have to side with her on this one. It's like this kid. It was about 6 or 9 months ago. I saw an article about a kid. He lives in Fort Gay, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's actually the name of the city.
Yeah.
And he tried to get onto Xbox Live's system.
Yeah.
And when he put in Fort Gay, West Virginia as his city, they banned him from the system. Fort Gay, West Virginia is a real city.
Yeah.
He ended up getting the mayor to call Microsoft and say, no, that's a real city, let him back on, and they eventually did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of these places, they came up with the names for them long before we decided to change the definition of the word. I mean, Intercourse, Pennsylvania probably wasn't as funny when the Amish originally moved there, right? And now here you're laughing. So it's not their fault that we decided to change the meaning. Gay just meant happy once.
Yeah. You know,
and now Fort Gay, West Virginia has a whole new meaning because of where society has decided to go with slang.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna have to side with this lady here. This is an effing problem, and I think effing Facebook needs to effing fix it right effing now.
Yeah, but, she wants to go for it. She can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the other thing. They don't want you to say fuck. Okay, so you say effing. Are they gonna ban every other replacement?
Who has these problems though? Because I mean, I put fuck on Facebook. I know I put fuck on Facebook. I mean, like, I don't even know what she's talking about.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she just doesn't realize that there is a way to change the settings on whether or not to let vulgarity through. It's like an adult settings on there somewhere where you can turn. Most programs, anyway, there's somewhere in there in the settings where you can set the chat filters on, adult chat filters on and off.
Yeah, that might be her problem because I know I've used curse words all the time on Facebook, and nobody ever, I never had a correction or you know, any kind of.
Well, I know a lot of online games that I've seen, they have that definitely. So I'm sure Facebook has somewhere. I've never gone to look for it, but if that's not the case, then I do have to say that Facebook should fix this because if you don't want people to say fuck, okay, fine. But you have to be let people get their thought across if you don't want to put the word in there. I mean, this would be like, okay, we don't want people to say nigger, so we're going to block the phrase the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
What are you supposed to do? I mean, if you're trying to, you know, of course, I don't know the specific. I can't tell you what a specific situation is where you want to put the phrase the N-word instead. But if you block that too, how do you tell people? How do you explain to someone that's what you're trying to say? Is like, I overheard someone say the N-word today, or he called me an N-word. Well, okay, if you don't want to actually say the N-word, you say, he called me the N-word, or he said the N-word. Well, if you can't even say that, well, now you can't get your message across.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to apologize to black people again because I said the N-word.
Yeah, I think she has too much time on her hands.
That's entirely possible. And I probably do, too. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this podcast every week. Well, anyway, I guess that's it for the show this week. Ty Rivera, thanks a lot for coming on. I really do appreciate
you having me, Mr. Joel Foreman.
One of the big celebrity on my show this time. This really is a treat. I do appreciate it. Do you have any events coming up? Any shows coming up? You wanna plug in?
Well, I know that your podcast mostly services the Fresno area.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next week I will be in Visalia, which isn't that far from here, and then I'm in Bakersfield coming up, so maybe if anybody's in the area, I mean, like, that's both next weekend, I believe.
Where is that De Brasieux's?
No, believe it or not, I'm doing All Pro Pizza again.
Oh, okay, so Thursday you're going to be at All Pro Pizza?
Yeah, I'm popular
in Visalia
there,
okay.
Too.
Well, Eulalio Magana, he does a lot of shows there. And then the one in Bakersfield, is that Friday or Saturday?
I think it's Friday, and it's the, what's that place
called? Is it the Laugh in the Links? Or
No, the All-Stars, Bakersfield All-Stars.
Oh, okay.
Bakersfield Stars, something like that.
I can't remember who it is that hosts that show, but I have heard
of
that one.
It's at the East Hills Mall.
Is it like Rob Schock is involved in that or something?
I'm
or?
Not sure. I everything I'm doing there is through Eulalio.
Oh, okay.
So. All right. You know.
All right, cool. So this coming Thursday, you're going to be at All Pro Pizza in Visalia.
Yeah.
And this coming Friday in Bakersfield, you're going to be at... what's the name of the place that the show's going to be at?
I should really know this, but I don't.
Well, you know what? Just follow Ty Rivera on Facebook, and I'm sure he's going to post on his Facebook where where it's going
to
be.
Or you can go to tyrivera.com, T-H-A-I-R-I, V as in Victor, E-R-A.
And you have your calendar up there and all the shows you're going to be at. I assume there's a place to register for a mailing list or something.
I don't have a mailing list because, I mean, like, you know.
Well, you know what? Just check the website.
Spam is annoying. I don't care
where
it's
true.
From.
That's
it's
true.
Just annoying at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I get so many emails. And now that everyone's got email sent straight to their phone, and I have to delete it both on my phone and on my computer now.
Yeah, and especially, like, you know, with holidays. so annoying because everybody's got their, like, you know, we've got this deal, we've got this sale, we've got the, and it's just ridiculous right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Check out Ty Rivera. I've seen him once before, and I'm going to see his performance tonight at Ty Palms. He's incredibly funny. Come check out the show. Dude, again, thanks a lot for coming out.
I really appreciate
your coming to be on the show. I'm JT Foreman. This has been The Bitter Comics, and we'll talk to you next week.